Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Steve invites you to check out KPP Financial's Select Growth and Income Program. Handpick mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. This popular strategy utilizes KPP's unique market expertise and adaptability to select top fund managers who produce quality portfolios for every market condition. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab when you're ready, or send Steve a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. Now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. I do appreciate you tuning in today. It is Friday, September 16th, 2016. And of course, this show is all about being a better than average investor, trying to learn the ins and outs, the complexities. And I don't expect you to be an expert, but to raise your level expertise is what we're going to aim for. Everybody's welcome to comment, and you can all bring your questions. As long as it's financial, I'll be happy to talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, it's time for our Friday briefing. I look through the headlines from our premium newsletter, which goes out to subscribers on every Friday. This week, I started out with the current market conditions section and stating that the economic reports of the last few weeks, have turned decidedly less bullish. This week, we had retail sales report for August. Well, wasn't it great? We talk about that in the newsletter. Next week, we will get some housing numbers. And there are two things that are supporting our economy right now. Two things that are keeping investors alert and aware. And that is the job market with very low unemployment claims and the housing sector, which has been pretty strong. So I look about that. We're also going to get a look at next week, leading economic indicators for August. Now, in the next section of the newsletter is the stock ideas. I give you a couple of short ETFs that I think you should consider. Next, our portfolio management section, we talk about how to find a mutual fund, what should you be looking for in a good, solid mutual fund, how to do some things you're looking for. And finally, in our consumer watch, I talk about fraud and senior citizens. Scams seems to be getting more and more popular because they're having more and more senior citizens. And about relatives scamming their elders. It's sad, but it does happen. Our live phone line is open. We're ready to have a conversation between 4 and 5 each day, Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And you can check in right now or anytime with any money question. 888-99-CHART is our number. We try to answer your question on the next InvestTalk.
My name is Dan in Santa Clara. I listen to the program on KDOW. My question is, do you have to pay taxes on Roth IRA that you inherit? Can you take cash or do you pay a penalty if you do that? Or rename it in the name of the deceased and then give it a new name on top of that and roll it into another IRA? That's it.
It's not that simple. I wish it was. It's not. It is an inherited IRA. I know more about the rules with regular IRAs when you inherit them than with Roth IRAs. But a regular IRA, the rules are that you have to take the money out over a certain period of time and pay taxes. I don't know what the rules are for a Roth IRA. You need to talk to your accountant. You remember, it's a Roth IRA, so I guarantee you it's going to be that simple just to roll it into an IRA of yours. That's not going to happen. Not happening. I just don't know the rules. I do not. Maybe I should learn the rules because it's pretty rare that happens, but it's good something to know. I'm sorry, I don't know. So talk to your CPA about that. Make sure he understands it's an inherited Roth IRA and what are the rules pertaining to that. Now let's try and answer a question via our text message. Hi, Steve, Justin. I'm currently up on Potash, symbol POT, after getting in a few weeks ago. I was wondering if you think I should just take the profit, or is this a possible merger worth the risk of holding okay, potash, P-O-T is the symbol. Potash. And there are merging with Agrium, right? That was the deal that was announced a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, the stock popped up because of that deal. Now it's given almost all that. This is not a buyout. This is a merger. So all the gains have been given back. Why? Because these are the two largest manufacturer fertilizers in Canada combining, and they already dominate, and now they're going to even dominate more, and maybe the deal might not go through because of that. That is the fear, and that's why the stock came back down. Let's say the deal doesn't go through. Well, I still like potash. They're going to make 72 cents next year after making 52 cents this year. They made $1.52 last year. So everybody knows that, right? And that's why the stock fell from, you know, the high 40s to about 15, right? So now it's $15.99. And it's already known. We already know that they're going to lose that money. So now you look, well, what's the next thing? Well, they're going to make 52 cents this year, which is a really hard fall from the earnings last year. But next year, they're going to make 72 cents. That's up 38%. So we own potash, and we own Agrium, by the way, in our stock managed accounts. So I kind of like the area. I kind of like that everybody doesn't want it. Once it got beat up enough, and this, if you look at a chart, this stock had been moving sideways for all of this year. Sideways, up and down, up and down, up and down. At some point, it's going to break that. But the longer it moves sideways, the more I feel comfortable owning it. Potash, P-O-T. That's in our number. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have some talking points we're going to discuss today. 7-point checkup for creating a college fund. Okay, they're really not 7 points. They're just 7 characteristics of it. And we're going to talk about that today. Self-driving cars will cost jobs, and lots of them. Is that going to be a problem? Are there too many people expecting a correction? I expect a correction, because there's always going to be a correction, but are there too many of us, experts and non-experts, expecting a correction? If that's really happening, the correction won't happen. And I want to talk about reverse mortgages, if I can. We've talked about them in the past, but we haven't talked to them for about a long time. Are they a good idea? You know what a reverse mortgage is? No one's talking about them right now. Have you noticed? There have been some changes in them, in the rules and regs. But is it a good idea? You might be surprised what I think. The market was down today. Dow was down 88, the NASDAQ down 5, and the S&P down 8. Now, all week, the NASDAQ has been holding up pretty well, and you can thank Apple for most of that, okay? Because Apple's the one who has had a great week, and since it's a $600 billion company, it kind of dominates some of the indexes, but the NASDAQ, remember the NASDAQ 100 is just the 100 largest stocks, and the NASDAQ, and, you know, Apple is big. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about Sanofi, SNY. Are these good levels to possibly get some to hold it for a couple of years?
Let's take a look at it. Sanofi, French developer of pharmaceutical products and vaccines targeting various therapeutic areas. It's not a small company. It probably is not well known, but it's a $98-99 billion company. Huge, large cap company. And they're going to make $3.05 this year after. And the earnings have been coming down slowly. They're going to make $2.97 next year. Pays a decent dividend at $2.95. What is good about it on a chart, Art, is it seems to not want to drop below about $38, and it's been doing that same thing potash is doing, had did all year, flumping around the bottom, ranging from like 37, $38 to $42 to $43 and going back down and go back up and back down. That's what it's been doing. So you have a long-term support. So I would say it probably, if everything being equal, and I know it's a huge company, and you're, it should be the bottom. Now, what is going to get it to go up, Art? That's our question.
Would you have any concerns about the Alibaba situation as far as whoever gets in office? Would that affect pharmaceuticals, do you think?
I don't think so. If Hillary gets in, it's more of the same. If Trump gets in, he's going to be more free market, and that will probably help the drug companies. So it's hard to know, but I don't think it really will affect it much. I really don't.
Okay. All right.
Okay, good luck with it. Hopefully we'll get some kind of catalyst and it grow. It has really nice sales. I mean, the sales has held up very nicely. That's SNY. SNY, Sanofi. My checkup schedule takes me to San Francisco next week. I'll be there on the 20th. That's a Tuesday. I'll be talking to clients there. Can we save an hour for you? To schedule an hour with me, no matter where you live, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. 888-992-4278. How about a checklist for creating a college fund for your child, grandchild, niece, nephew, whatever you want to do? First of all, what are some of the plans that you can use? You need to decide which account you want. A 529 savings plan is one of the most popular. And these are accounts run by the state-sponsored college education plans. And if you live in a particular state, doesn't mean you have to buy that particular state's 529. You can buy any state's 529 plan you want, no matter where you are, which is only right in my mind. Why shouldn't you? There's also the Coverdell. Now, the big difference between the 529 and the Coverdell is that the 529 is state-sponsored, and the state decides what list of funds that you should buy or whether they'll let you do stocks. You know, it's up to the state. They set the rules on that. Coverdell is like almost like an IRA. As a matter of fact, it used to be called the Coverdell IRA. And you can pretty much buy whatever you want. Now, the big difference also in 529, you can put, like, I don't remember the amount. I might have it here on my desk somewhere. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't. But it's like $15,000, $17,000 a year you can put away. But in a Coverdell, it's only $2,000 a year. On a 529, accredited colleges only, Coverdell, you can use it for any education. Truck driving school, beauty school, whatever. But you also can use a Roth IRA. If you think about it, a Roth IRA might be something you might consider, right? A Roth IRA isn't really specifically intended for college, but it can be a useful alternative if you don't want to commit to using the money for college expenses. Specifically, there is an exemption that says Roth IRAs can be withdrawn penalty-free anytime to pay for college expenses. Did you know that? Then you got to research, and then you got to go through a broker and decide how you're going to do this. Decide what investments you're going to be. You got to put money in the account, and then you got to maintain that account. Got to watch your money. Those are things you got to do. Now, one reason to sign up for our free Invest Talk Insider program is the webinars. We record our live webinars and make them available to our listeners. You can watch them anytime you want. Like Seeing the Cycles, How to Recognize and Harness the Power of Market Cycles. Again, you have to be an Invest Talk Insider, but it's free. It's easy. There's no long sign-up process. Go to investtalk.com. Okay, let's go talk to Abe in Concord. How you doing, Abe?
No, it's Dave.
Dave. Well, they wrote down Abe. I'll yell at them for you afterwards.
Okay. So I'm in the TSP plan for a government worker.
Yes.
What's been bugging me this week was on Monday, the swing between the futures market and like a 33-point up day on Monday.
Yes.
You know, last Friday was a big down day.
Right.
The futures sold off almost all the way down to 2100, like 2103 or something.
Right.
But it ended up having a 33-point up day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So welcome to the futures market.
I mean, people are selling off before the market starts, and but it's still going up.
Yeah, welcome to the futures market. That's the futures market. Remember, for everybody else, Dave, the futures market is something that we all, that it just as a name implied, they're looking in the future and trying to guess the direction and bid up or bid down the futures prices of something. And I say something because it depends on what the future is on. Corn.
Well, S&P 500.
You can do S&P. It could be anything that they wanted.
Right.
So so Dave is saying, you know, the huge swing is very disconcerting. And you're right. When the market gets very volatile, you'll see those huge swings. We just had a very calm period for months. And that's more unusual. The calmness is the unusual part, Dave. So be aware. There's not much you can do about it. There's just, you know, you're playing the futures market. That's a thing I do not do, by the way, because I think it's pretty risky. You can make a lot of money or lose a fortune. Yeah.
So for me, I went contrarian on that Brexit Friday and did a 15% buy.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. You've had a down week.
I'm up pretty good.
Yeah. Don't hesitate to take profit. That's one thing about the futures market, because of the swings. Don't hesitate to take profit.
I ran to treasuries after about 6 weeks.
Okay. Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Right. Yeah, that's the futures market, everybody. So be aware of that. Self-driving cars will cost jobs. There's been an article floating around, several articles actually, saying that self-driving cars are going to cost up to 4 million jobs. 4 million jobs. This is part of our economy. It's called Creative Destruction. Remember the book I have on my website? I've been pushing that book forever, and I just love that book. And this part of how our economy works. Old ways of doing things are destroyed, and new ways are being invented. Look what happened with the internet. I mean, you're talking about destroying the old way to do things. Talk about selling items. Look at all the malls and how barren they are. They're all struggling to change the way they do business. And all of them, now you got a lot more discount malls because of it. It's just the way it is. So it is going to be a real disruptive technology, self-driving cars. And it will cost a lot of jobs, but it's going to come. Don't think it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And there's going to be laws, there's going to be political fighting, there's going to be a lot, there's going to be some horrendous accidents, and everybody's going to get up in arms and say, see, look at how bad that is, a self-driving car. Totally ignoring how many terrible accidents happen with people behind the wheel. I think the self-driving cars would be a lot safer, if you want to know the truth. But if none of this is going to stop it. My concern is now what are we going to do with all those people that don't have any other skills but driving, truck drivers, delivery trucks, taxi cabs, Uber, and Uber is a big pusher of this. Uber is one of the biggest pushers. So what's going to happen to all those jobs? Well, that's going to be a transition that's going to be pretty darn tough. But it's inevitable. There'll be other jobs generated. I don't know what they are. But there'll be other jobs generated, not specifically from this industry, but creative destruction works that way. You know, one industry gets destroyed, another industry gets built, and then you have to go train yourself to do something else. And, it's just the way it's going to be. You're not going to be able to avoid it. And, frankly, I know a lot of people are worried about self-driving cars. I am ecstatic about it. I'm really looking forward to it. You know why? Because when I get old, I don't want to be stuck in the house and not have the freedom to go wherever I want to go. I want to be able to go wherever I want to go, and I want to do it with my own vehicle. So I'm going to jump in my self-driving car and tell it to take me, I don't know, to the movies, to the beach. I'm an old guy. I can't drive very good. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Right? I'm looking forward to it. My father-in-law, who's 90, still drives and shouldn't be. I don't know how. I've been telling him for years we should not let him drive. But the DMV renewed his license. They don't seem to care. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now.
Listen, I'm really glad I found you guys again. I was first introduced when you were on a local AM station out here and stumbled into you guys back on the internet.
InvestTalk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Remember, no matter where you listen in the United States, you can have your retirement portfolio reviewed by a registered investment advisor at no cost. Steve does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. To schedule your time with Steve, just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com and then Portfolio Review. Now, more InvestTalk. Listening to Invest Talk for this Friday, September 16th, your opportunity for diversification expands, but does the risk outweigh the rewards? Pros and cons of real estate crowdfunding. That's our talking point next time. What's yours right now? 888-99-CHART is how to tell us from anywhere in the U.S.
888-992-4278, and we're going to go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. I was wondering, what is your opinion about ABX? It's been kind of going down lately, and there's a chatter that DBX might even go down to 24, 22, something like that.
Well, it's possible, but we own ABX in our managed account. We bought it back in the end of the last year, maybe the beginning of this year. I'm not even sure exactly when. And we've sold half of it. Only not because we didn't want it, is because it more than doubled in price, so it just took some profits off the table. And it looks like to me it really wants to find support right around $17.25. This is ABX, Barrick Gold Corporation, a Canadian company engaged in the production of gold and copper in Canada, U.S., Peru, Chile, and eight other countries. It's a $20 billion company. It's not small. Sales have been falling. But really, it's based on what you think gold's going to do. Do you think gold is going to go up, down, or sideways? Well, then you got to go back. Well, what do you think the dollar's going to do? Think the dollar's going to get stronger or weaker? And then, you know, and then inflation. Do you think inflation's going to pick up or slow down? So you got all these things that can push gold around. And I frankly think gold got oversold. And we're still holding on. It's also a kind of a hedge against the market. It's not a perfect hedge. So, Mike, I would be a buyer at this price. I would.
Okay.
I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but I would be a buyer. I think it's going to go higher in the next year or two. I think we're going to have another run up in gold prices. I really do. Okay.
Do you think this Fed might have something to do with it?
If you remember right, the Fed raised the interest rates in December, and that should have made the dollar get stronger. But as soon as that happened, gold went up in price. When generally gold goes down in price when the dollar gets stronger. It was very odd. I'm not sure why. Maybe because they don't think the Fed's going to raise it again. And, you know, so far the Fed hasn't. I don't think they're going to raise next week. raise the rates, interest rates, and therefore the dollar should not get stronger. But the dollar has been kind of falling. It's much lower it was at the beginning of the year than it is now. It had an up day today, but I don't know. I like it, Mike. I still like ABX. I like it. Let's go to Bob in Mountain View. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, Steve. This is Bobby here. I just had a quick question. It's a little off topic, but still investment related. I'm in the Silicon Valley where it's difficult to buy an investment property and have a positive cash flow on it.
Right.
I was thinking, do you think it's okay to buy it in some other state like Arizona or Texas and kind of manage it remotely?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. If you're going to do investment properties, matter of fact, buying in Silicon Valley is very expensive right now. Super expensive. I don't think people outside, Bob, people outside your area in the Bay Area, in the San Jose Bay Area, I don't think they understand how expensive a house is there in San Jose.
No. We all understand, nothing less than $1 million. So
yeah.
It's really insane.
I know. You can get a Cracker Jack box for $1 million. Whoa. And be happy with it, that you found something.
Yeah.
Anyways, there are much better opportunities. And there's firms. We at KPP and Justin have associated ourselves with a firm that does buy and specialize buying income property outside the state of California, looking for opportunities. And they said recently to me that Florida is still a good place to consider to buy rental properties. Now, of course, where in Florida is important, so you got to be careful, Bob. Okay, so make sure that if you want some help in that, just give Justin a call. He'll point you in a direction at the very least. Okay.
Okay.
Bob, thanks for the call.
Are they just limited to Florida?
No. Across the country. Arizona, Nevada is also in Las Vegas area. There are certain areas they were saying were really attractive. And in Arizona as well. And these are the primary three places that had a lot of foreclosures. And still, the housing market has improved, but not nearly as much as here in California.
And they help manage the property also?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Buy, manage, recommend
it.
Where you go to go. They're the whole gamut. So it's really helpful. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
I should get in touch with Justin then.
Yeah, get in touch with Justin. He'll help you with that. Thanks, Bob. Let's go to, we need to talk to Ed in Millbrae. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Okay. CMI. I have a lot of money in the market, and I was wondering if I could buy some of that, either options or buy it outright as a hedge.
Okay, as a hedge, CMI is Cummins Inc.
CMI, yeah.
Yeah, that would not be a hedge. That would be a very poor hedge. I mean, it was not a hedge at all. Cummins Inc. manufactures diesel and natural gas engines, electronic power generation systems, and engine-related.
That's the wrong initial because I'm driving. Did I say CMI?
Yes.
Well, maybe it's CWI.
Let me check that. CWI. Let's see what these. Okay, that might exchange traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the ex-U.S. ACWIXUSA index.
Okay.
Is that what you're looking at?
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a look at that one. CWI. It's a pretty small ETF, and it's not very liquid. It's probably enough for a small small investor. I don't know how good of a index hedge this is either.
Okay.
Because it's the MSCI Acqui Index. That is you're talking about outside the United States.
No, I got the wrong initials, and I'll have to call you back when I
okay. Okay, so yeah, this really isn't a hedge either. So call me back when you come up with it, and I'll, you know, we'll talk about hedging. I don't mind hedging at all. I think it's a good tactic, and when the market is risky. So yeah, call me back, Ed. I'll be happy to help you. You really can't assemble and maintain the right retirement portfolio for you if you don't have a clear and honest understanding of your risk tolerance. Most people don't have a clue. How do you measure that? You know, how do you know how much risk you're going to take? Think about yourself in 2007 when the market, in 2008 when the market collapsed. What did you do? How did you react with your investments? Did you, if you did nothing, that means you have a pretty high risk tolerance. If you got out, that means you have a pretty low risk tolerance. Somewhere in between those two extremes is where most people are. How do you determine that? Well, we have a tool that helps you. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. You'll see it, risk tool.
Although the real estate market has plenty of opportunities for making big gains, buying and owning real estate is a lot more complicated than investing in stocks and bonds. Got a question about it? Get a note to our onboard licensed realtor. Just click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com and he'll get right back to you.
Are there too many people expecting a correction? This is the market is, as I said before, in the short term, the market is like a spoiled child. It can throw tantrums. It can be very calm. You don't know what it's going to do. It could do anything. In the long term, everything comes down to earnings. So if you're an investor and not a trader, you're an investor, all you really need to do is find good, solid stocks. Good, solid stocks that will pay dividends or make earnings. And then it's the kind of investor you want to be. But on a short-term basis, markets have corrections, and sometimes these corrections, you know, a normal correction is 10%, and a correction is still defined as a correction as long as it's below 20%. Okay, so now, are too many people expecting a correction? I am, so maybe I'm part of this crowd that's expecting a correction. Now, I know we will have a correction. I just never know when and how much. We're going to have it. I do say, I think we're overdue for a correction. I think it's coming. We saw some volatility this week and the Friday of last week, and that's telling me that investors are nervous. But if everybody is expecting the correction, that means everybody's already reacted to the correction that they expect to happen. If they already reacted to the correction, then there won't be any panic selling out. Therefore, the correction won't happen because they've already hedged, they've already done what they're going to do. That's what makes it so, you know, and in fact, if you look at some of the things that's happening, why haven't we had the correction already? Banks are being fined big time, banks. Cell phones are catching fire or exploding. The EU is weak and decided to do no more stimulus for the time being. The Fed may raise the rates next week, may not. Everybody's on pins and needles waiting for what they're going to do. There's a presidential election. Everybody sees them slinging mud back and forth. We've had bad earnings, and the outlook is for even a lower earnings this quarter. We have weak economic numbers coming out. They've been coming out for a couple weeks, 3 weeks now. Shouldn't we have had the correction already? This is why I'm saying that maybe too many people are expecting the correction and we're not going to get it. Now, I just put that devil's advocate hat on. I really think there's going to be a correction. But I'm one of these people that do not, I have been burned so many times over the umpteen years I've been investing. I know it's smarter to always know that you're not going to be right all the time. You're not. So I try not to get too strong in my opinions because I've been wrong. You know, I'm not like, who is the guy that caused, you know, the perennial bears that always think the world's going to fall. You know, Harry Dent. You know, I'm not one of those guys that think the market's going to skyrocket and do get to 100,000 on the Dow the next few years. I'm not either end of those. I'm more of a down to earth. Okay, don't be too cocky. The market is going to correct because it always has, but it could only be a 5% correction, or it could be a 20% correction. Do I think we're going to go into a bear market? No, not this year. I don't. Maybe not next year. The year after might be in a recession. But I don't know that either. I'm just reading as best I can what's going on in the economy, our economy, the economy around the world, and how it will affect our market. And with experience, I try to plug those things in and say what I think the market's going to do. Where should I go? Now let's see if we can answer a text question. Hi guys, I've been researching weeks now and have come up to the conclusion that I should put 90% of my portfolio in an all stock market fund, VTSAX, and keep 10% in cash and wait for pullbacks. I have 20 years until I retire and have $350,000 invested thus far. When I retire, I'll keep 80% of VTSAX, the rest in cash, wait for pullbacks, and collect 2% dividends. And add 2% as sell-off and live the good life. I really believe bonds just don't work anymore in this economy. I am maxing out a Roth. I would be very interested in hearing your opinion. So VT, I can tell with a V, is a Vanguard. VTSAX. See what that is. That's the Vanguard Total Market Stock Index, the Admiral Fund. And yeah, this will work. Now, I think you're optimistic that you say you're just going to stay in it. How do you know you are? If it cuts in half, would you keep it? How about if it cuts, what if it went down 80%? Would you still keep it and add to it over 20 years? And when you do retire, I don't know if it's wise to keep 80% in the market in retirement with your money. Because in retirement, you can't afford those big downturns. For 20 years that you can stay in, yeah, you can afford it. But once you start approaching retirement, your attitude should change. And you say you just believe bonds just don't work anymore in this economy. Well, what if 20 years from now, bonds interest rates are 8, 10% like they were in the 70s, in the early 80s, I guess maybe the 80s. Don't remember exactly where that was. See, you can't make certain assumptions that far ahead. You can say, yes, the total stock market index is a good place to be over a long period of time. Yes. Okay. And you could say that bonds are probably not a good place to be over the next 15, 20 years. Yes, because the interest rates are so very low. But it might stay low for many years. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. If there's a money matter you think I could help you with, well, give me a call. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Call it right now.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Andre in Chico. How you doing, Andre?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Question on the technical analysis side of the house. Sure. What are your favorite, like your go-to indicators, oscillators that you go to out of the 50 or 100 that are out?
Okay.
I'm just curious what your core technical analysis toolkit is.
Well, let me tell you what I always have up 100% of the time. When I turn on my systems, when I get in the office, it comes up automatically. I have the RSI, Relative Strength Indicator. I have the MACD, MACD. I have volume, and I always have those where I start. Then I start putting in the different kinds of oscillators. You know, there's a number of them, and I also like Fibonacci retracement numbers. You know what those are?
What are your thoughts on Adler's triple screen trading system?
Okay, we're really getting technical for everybody, Andre.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Not a problem. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I just want everybody to understand. When we're talking about technical analysis, Andre and I are discussing a chart of stock movements and what kind of studies of the movement of those charts do we apply to try to give us some hints as to where the market's going or where it's been and where it might repeat, those kinds of things. I don't really, Andre, I don't use any trading systems, buy and sell, because I've over the years, I've just decided that they don't really work very well. Once one thing starts working well, everybody jumps on it and it stops working. So I kind of gave up on those trading systems.
Okay? Right. Adler's is a combination of where he starts at a week, mm-hmm. looks down at a day, and maybe starts with MACD, goes down to a day, looks at maybe bull, bear power, mm-hmm. and then if you want a day trade, he goes from maybe a day down to an hour or hour down to a minute. It's not a system. It's just basically his philosophy on a toolkit. But I really appreciate your insight. Love your show.
Andre, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, I've tried day trading years and years and years ago, and, I was pretty good at it. But it was way too much work. And most people lose a lot of money doing it, and it's understanding. It's understandable. Day trading is not a winning system for most people. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. Small versus large caps. How are you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think you mentioned in the last couple of days about how in the long term the value stocks do better in general than growth stocks.
That's correct.
And I was wondering about small value versus large value, large cap value.
If you're talking about an index.
Right.
Okay.
That's a basket.
Okay, like a basket. And small would do better than large.
So small value would do better than large value.
Yes. Now, the reason being is a small are tends to be higher growth stocks. You're not buying growth. You're buying value. So if you have a combination of both, value plus growth, and that is exactly describing what we do at KPP. I'm a value plus growth investor, but it doesn't mean I concentrate on small. I don't. I concentrate on the mid cap to the large cap, and every once in a while I'll go small. Why? Because a lot of small companies, even value small companies, go out of business. Too many of them for me. I like earnings. I like value. I like growing sales, but they don't have to be super growing sales. But I do like sustainability. And the mid cap and large caps are sustainable. But value does work better. Does that help you?
Yes. Thanks a lot.
Good. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate you listening in there in North Carolina. Thank you very much. Why did let's talk about reverse mortgages. Now, I know it's boring, but I don't have a lot of time, so I know it's boring. I know it's not exciting, but, maybe we should pick this up next week on reverse mortgages. And I only say it because I think it is a very good last choice. Not a first choice in retirement, but a very good last choice in retirement if you want to stay in your house and you can't afford it. Our time's up for the hour. I want to remind you that I'll be in San Francisco on September 20th. That's next Tuesday. Then San Ramon on the 27th and San Jose on the 28th. Now, half my slots are already taken up. So if you want to have a complimentary retirement view, it's time to set aside the hour for you. Go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And I want you to enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors,
Call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.